WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, nothing fuels the New York economy like bonuses on Wall Street, where the rich seem to get richer no matter what. Those 6- and 7-figure Christmas thank you envelopes are seen as the main reason Manhattan real estate keeps booming, even as the rest of the country sags or worse. But the party may not be as hearty this year, according to indications from the finance sector. Merrill Lynch today posted its first quarterly loss in 6 years. Financial services firms based in New York generally have laid off more than 42,000 people this year, according to Monday's New York Times, causing speculation about how thin this year's bonus checks will be and even whether New York may be headed for a Wall Street-driven recession. An article in the New York Sun today is more bullish, however, noting that the credit crisis is good for hedge funds, with many based here. So we'll talk about it all now with Catherine Wild, president of the Partnership for New York City, which represents large employers in the city. Hi, Catherine. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you.
Are the credit crunch and the subprime mortgage bust finally coming home to roost in New York?
Well, I think that's what we've seen over the last month as we see these major reports of losses from the banking and securities industry, yes.
With what effect? Well, this number from the Times article, for example, more than 42,000 layoffs from New York-based financial institutions. Not all those jobs are based here, but the companies are, and they may not have as much Christmas cheer to spread around. So how significant is that in your opinion?
Well, it's hard to judge. Obviously, the word of the day is uncertainty, and I wouldn't go so far as to say it's fragile, but it's certainly, and we cannot expect the same level of profitability and bonuses as we saw last year. On the other hand, last year was a record year at $23.9 billion in Wall Street bonuses. That will be down, but the last quarter, Goldman Sachs reported its best, most profitable quarter ever. So this isn't, it's not a universal situation. And a lot of the layoffs you're talking about or the job losses are in the traditional banking industry, not on Wall Street and the securities industry.
It's Citigroup that was responsible for about half of those 42,000 layoffs, I gather, and a lot of those jobs aren't in New York.
Well, it's not only not in New York, but also people think of Wall Street exclusively, and what we're talking about here is banking industry, the securities Wall Street industry, as well as the larger insurance and risk management industry is all grouped into this category. So if you put it all together, it's responsible for about a quarter of our New York metropolitan region economy.
Wow.
We've got a $900 billion economy, and it's driven by this sector. And that's the 28-county region from Fairfield County all the way through, you know, near New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me bring in John Challenger, a partner in Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, a job placement consulting firm in Chicago. He was quoted in Monday's Times article on this. Mr. Challenger, hi, welcome to WNYC.
Nice to be with you.
So you were quoted on the job cuts of 42,000 this year, financial services firms based in New York announcing that many job cuts. What does that tell you?
Well, certainly it says that we're going into, we've been through a period with the credit crunch where Wall Street firms, many of them sustained significant losses. In today's kind of just-in-time economy, when companies go through periods of loss, they usually, or if their opportunity begins to slowdown with the economy. They often cut jobs. They scale back so that their profit margins stay consistent.
Now, I want to open up the phones for people who work on Wall Street, or maybe you're home listening because you just got laid off from your job with an investment firm, I don't know, or a bank. Give us a call. How are things? 212-433-WNYC. I know we have brokers who sneak in to listen during the day. What's the buzz about the size of the bonuses coming at the end of this year, the beginning of next year? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What's going on out there? Call us from the trenches for Catherine Wild, president of the Partnership for New York City, and John Challenger from the job placement consulting firm of Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or you can post a comment on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Let me stay with you for a minute, Mr. Challenger. We heard that Merrill Lynch just announced this morning their first quarterly loss in nearly 6 years. So looking at the calendar, that would probably be since just after the tech bubble burst and maybe just after 9/11, although Catherine had just said that, which one was it, Goldman Sachs? Yeah, had a very, very good third quarter. So what do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. Wall Street participates in every boom and bust, whether it be the dot-com growth and then fall, or even the telecom before that. Now it's with the housing. It's one of the reasons that Wall Street does so well, because every time there's a boom, the financing needed to drive that boom comes, with jobs on Wall Street. But, you know, the flip side of that, and when you're in a more volatile space, that you're also going to see some of the downside. There's going to be periods where companies are staffing up to meet what's going on as one sector of the economy grows quickly. It's also going to scale back. And we are moving into that period now. I don't think it's just, I hope it's contained, but my guess is we're going to go through some period of retrenchment here.
Brian, John may have an interesting comment on this, but you've got to look not just in terms of the credit crunch, but internationally, the financial services industry is growing as we respond to these emerging economies around the world in China and India. It's just that we're competing now. Everybody used to come to America to raise capital. They now are establishing regional markets in places like London, which is capturing a lot of the business out of the Middle East and Eastern Europe, Shanghai, Dubai, Hong Kong. Other places in the world are really competing with us, and companies have a tendency to go that direction. And that means that some of our international financial services firms are moving their jobs and operations. And you also look at things like what the Federal Aviation Authority did this weekend when they announced they were going to institute a policy to reduce the number of flights per hour coming into Kennedy Airport from 100 to 80. That has a devastating effect that may end up being long-term worse than the credit crunch for New York City.
Now, in the Times article on Monday, Catherine, there's a quote from James Brown from the State Labor Department. He says, not all previous downturns on Wall Street had broad and lasting effects on the local economy. And then, quote, it's not entirely clear which type of Wall Street slowdown we're having, unquote. Within a few months, he said, it should become clearer how widespread its effects will be. Until then, quote, you can't assume we're going to stop growing completely because Wall Street's turning down. But you talked about Wall Street and the larger finance sector being responsible for 25% of the economy. What are those two types of Wall Street downturns that he's referring to?
The types of downturns?
Well, he said.
Well, I think it's what we were talking about. It's on the one hand, you've got the a recession when mergers and acquisition activity stops. But on the other hand, you've got sort of long-term structural issues of competitiveness, where the international financial services market is certainly growing with around the world. The question is it going to grow in New York and the United States? And as we know, there are a number of issues. I mean, I mentioned the air traffic and capping international air flights would have a devastating impact on our potential to grow the business here and to compete. Same thing with the, since 9/11, we've had a very difficult visa policy for bringing people in and out of this country from around the world. That has a chilling effect on I know of investment banking operations that have relocated divisions to London because they have a much more open and flexible visa situation to bring in key people to work for them.
John Challenger?
It's not just that. In fact, we have, with the regulations, with Sarbanes-Oxley, a much more restrictive environment, say, for example, IPOs. So IPO activity over the last three years, has really slowed down. A lot of that is going overseas to London and other places as new businesses, especially global businesses, look for their capital elsewhere.
And Justin, in the last few minutes, from Washington, turmoil in the mortgage market sent sales of existing homes plunging by a record 8% last month, according to industry figures released this morning. That, of course, is a national figure. So, Catherine Weil, I don't know if you can localize this at all. Of course, we've been in this unusual real estate, I don't want to say bubble, more like protective bubble in New York compared to the rest of the country so far.
Well, it's definitely having an impact on local residential real estate, and particularly in some of our neighborhoods that are least equipped to deal with it. I think you've seen some of the articles and studies that have documented that there's a concentration in low-income neighborhoods or historically low-income neighborhoods.
Of the foreclosures.
Of foreclosures and where we're seeing a concentration of activity. So we're going to see both social issues emerge out of this as well as the larger economic issues. And it's I think it's made the credit crunch really is that everybody's nervous. Nobody's sure where things are going, and that's why I said the watchword today, I think, is uncertainty, and that is not good for the economy, clearly.
Catherine Weil, president of the Partnership for New York City, which represents large employers in the city. John Challenger from the employment consulting firm of Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, one of the great corporate names of all time, which could describe really the three phases of the economy. Challenger, Gray, which we're in, and Christmas.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because the big concern out there for a deeper kind of recession, you're talking about the two kinds of conditions that might affect Wall Street, one kind of shallow, maybe a downturn in the markets, and another a real recession. The big concern out there is that the consumer will react negatively to the fact that his or her house payments have adjusted upwards, or they may be losing their homes. They can't use their homes as piggy banks anymore. The cost of gas is very high, acting like a tax on many people, and again, crimping their spending. And now you have a jobs picture that is beginning to go into decline. Job creation is down. Unemployment is beginning to rise. That means fewer people out in the store. So if we have a holiday season, shopping season this year that doesn't perform up to expectations or even where we've been in the last few years, that might send the economy into recession in 2008. That's a fear that right now about a third of economists are predicting that we'll be in recession next year. That means two-thirds are optimistic and think we'll come out of it. This will be contained this jobs picture won't get significantly worse.
Leanne in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Leanne.
Hi. I work as a temp at law firm, different law firms that work with financial markets a lot. I don't know, you know, I'm no expert on it, but I know that for the temps, work has been drying up a lot. And we're kind of like the canaries in the coal mine, because the first thing that happens is that they stop needing extra people to do whatever deals they're doing, and there's been a lot less work this fall than I remember since 2001.
Leanne, thanks for your call.
That's a really great point, because the area where we've really grown jobs is in professional services, law firms, accountants, management consultants, and that is driven and dependent on activity in the financial services sector.
Could this be a good thing in a way for New York as a whole? I mean, everyone wants more affordable housing. If the big impact is that there isn't all this bonus money to go around to maintain the bubble in New York, and of course nobody wants people at the low end to be foreclosed upon as a result of these subprime mortgages and all of that, but if the net result is that housing prices come down in New York, maybe it makes it a more affordable place to live, and fewer people have housing problems in the long run. Catherine, is that possible?
I think that's no. I think housing prices may come down, but the problem you have there, Brian, is that every high-paid worker on Wall Street creates about three or four additional jobs that are dependent on them. So you lose a job on Wall Street, or you lose income there, and that trickles down so that the folks who work in restaurants and that provide child care, and so you get a lot of people that suffer. So, yes, on the high end, prices may go down, but the loss of income for so many people throughout our society, not just the people on the top
who are buying luxury apartments. Right, a net negative. John Challenger, you wanted to say?
Well, what's interesting is each time there's a boom, there's always positive effects that come out of it in the long term. So during the dot-com boom, the telecom boom, we built way more infrastructure. Everybody moved into the PC tech world during that time. Adopted it. So there was the crash, but long term, all that technology was now there. The same thing has happened, say, in New York City in this housing boom. The housing stock has grown. It's been improved. There are going to be losses that come because it was became extended. But in the long term, the infrastructure that was built will be beneficial to the city.
Jim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hi, that's more or less my question. Would not a downturn on Wall Street really benefit other classes of people in sort of like, stemming the pressure on housing, stemming the displacement of people because of the run-up in costs that all this Wall Street money brings? Would that not be good for other classes?
Yeah, you may have been talking to the screener. I think you were, just as I was asking that precise question a moment ago.
I'd make another point on it, Brian.
Yes?
That 36% of our business tax revenues in the city come out of the financial services industry. So they're paying taxes. They're creating jobs for many other people beyond their own high-paying jobs in the around the city. So the negatives, New York City's economy and our tax base is so dependent on the financial services industry that the impact is overwhelmingly negative. I really don't think there's a silver lining here.
I mean, think about it also. It just always seems that when you do go into recession, even though the people on Wall Street making the big money may see their bonuses go down, it's often the people, the working people, who take it on the chin much harder. So,
well, like the temp that called up, the temp secretary that called up.
Right. It affects a downturn in the economy, and in the city. The business is finance. If you were in Detroit, it was autos. It's autos. If it's in Houston, it's energy. When the one of the key industries goes through a period of downturn, everybody takes it, but it's usually the people at the low end who get it worse.
Now, here's an interesting thing. I'm going to put two callers on together who have, I think, precisely opposite political takes on what we've been talking about. Bob in Manhattan and Michael in Queens. Bob, you there?
Yes, I am.
Michael,
thanks.
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Michael, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, I'd just like to get a sense of what the guests think of the effect on Wall Street of the spending on the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, because from what I understand, most of that money that's being raised to pay for the war is being borrowed, so it's not real money.
And Bob, what did you call to say?
I call to say that basically all the Democrat presidential candidates are talking about raising the capital gains tax and raising taxes on people with upper incomes. So that would most definitely, in just about everybody that I've spoken to and read and heard, have an adverse effect on Wall Street.
So, Catherine Wild and John Challenger, we've got Republican war policies having an effect on these financial companies because this isn't real money, so to speak, that was borrowed. And on the other side, Democrats threatening to raise capital gains taxes, which could hurt the companies even more. Dare you jump into these waters?
Well, no question that the capital gains tax, if it's raised, that will affect Wall Street, the securities industry. If people are buying fewer securities, it's harder for them to get in and out of those securities. It will bring down volume, and that's a direct hit on Wall Street activity.
Yeah, yes, I would agree in terms of the overall, the tax situation in the U.S. is part of our competitiveness problem. We are, I was told the other night, we've actually surpassed, Japan was number one in terms of tax burden on business, and we apparently, at least in New York City, since we have city and state taxes on top of the federal tax, we've just surpassed them in terms of being number one in terms of taxes. So that's a burden that discourages location here. The problem we have and the opportunity, we've got a global economy, and people in financial services can do their business in London or in Hong Kong or Sydney, around the world. They don't have to be here anymore to do it. So we've lost an advantage that we've had for the last almost 100 years.
Though the Democrats would certainly argue, some Democrats would argue, and I don't want to get bogged down in this, but that the tax structure is so unfair with capital gains being taxed at a lower rate than income and diminishes the federal treasury from being able to do things like provide health care and so forth, that the country may be better off taking that risk. But what about the other callers? Point about all the borrowing to pay for Iraq and Afghanistan.
I think that's mostly the national debt, which is primarily being sold to other countries.
And what happens, you know, is the spending is good for the economy in the short term. It's stimulative. It's fiscal policy. When the government spends money, you can think back to the Depression. When the government was spending money, they were stimulating the economy back again, recharging it. The problem is, long term, the amount of debt that's piled up that isn't, you know, has not been supported by taxes is long term very inflationary. If the government gets into such debt that they can't pay it off, they have to basically make dollars cheaper to bring it down. So it is a long term, because of this heavy debt, going to be very difficult for the economy.
You know, Catherine, Mayor Bloomberg has always talked about diversifying our city economy so we're not so dependent on Wall Street. And yet you've been talking about it, one out of every $4 in the economy still coming directly or indirectly from the street. Is it just because those salaries and bonuses have grown so huge in recent years, or because
that's
the city is failing to diversify?
No, the high-end salaries are certainly part of it, but it just takes a long time to diversify the economy. Some of the other, you know, some of our other key industries, like healthcare and education, are industries that are very dependent on government spending and operate out of nonprofit, non-tax-paying facilities. So essentially, you have, you know, these are sectors that government has to invest in rather than generate a lot of revenues from. So it's a little the diversification of the economy to bring in new profit centers in terms of net tax revenue centers, like the biotech industry that the mayor has pushed very hard and opened our, you know, we've started construction now on our first million-square-foot biotech park on the East River, which I think is going to begin to solidify job creation in that sector, which will help diversify. The media sector is very important to the city, and it's one where we've actually done a good job, everything from film production to attracting back a number of jobs in television sector. So we've got some other positive things going on, but it takes time. And for our role over the last year, if you think back to the 1980s and 1990s, it's the financial services sector that was responsible for the renaissance of our city from the doldrums that we came from, and it's been part of what's brought, it has brought New York into the global economy. Now the question is, what can we do to capitalize on other areas of the global economy? And professional services has turned out, you know, the professional services firms based here are not just serving our companies, they're serving companies around the world.
Catherine Wild, president of the Partnership for New York City, which represents large employers in New York. John Challenger, a partner in Challenger, Gray and Christmas, a job placement consulting firm. Thank you both very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll continue on this in a minute with an astounding number on bankruptcies, personal bankruptcies in New York City over the last year. Stay with us.